Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, and let's chat about what's coming up this week in the stars above. Talk about human design. Let's talk about the gene keys, and let's talk about the Pleiadian Earth energy. And by the way, I have some exciting news. I heard from Pia and Cullen over the weekend while I was away, and they said that the 2020 calendar is about ready to come out, and I'm so excited. I really love using this Pleiadian Earth energy calendar, and so I'm totally jazzed up about it coming out again for 2020. And I will make sure I let everybody know where they can order it from or how to get it, because it can't be too soon, right? It's, you know, before you know it, 2020 is upon us, and some of the crazier, more complex energies that will come in late 2019 and 2020. And gosh, as I say, late 2019, holy cow, are we already almost there? This is the eighth month, right? We're in the end run to 2019. It's kind of amazing. I was thinking about that this morning when I was gone for the weekend. Driving on the way to the ferry terminal, I was noticing the trees are already turning. And sometimes that's just because of the warmer weather that we have, but also the drier weather. But we've had enough rain this summer that I think plants and trees are getting ready. They're getting ready to shed those leaves and get ready for fall, which to me is always amazing to watch that start to transition in August and begin, of course, much later, later in September and October. But anyway, so I had a wonderful weekend away, or mini vacation, if you will. And I hope all of you did well. It seemed like it was a decent, time period. Other than the outer world that sometimes just shakes us to our core, which we can't control. So I've given up even thinking about controlling anything that goes on in that outer world or what other people do, or all I can do is keep to my own personal code. And that's what I suggest each of you do in any moment that you can be the light of the world and be the light to the world. Good morning to Mimi. Good morning, Allison. Hope you had a great weekend. I did. Thank you very much. I hope you did as well. Mimi says the trees also are affected by our already shorter days. It's amazing, isn't it? And I did notice this morning when I got up, I blearily looked up my watch and it said 6:08, and I went, but it's too dark for 6 o'clock. The days are getting shorter. The days are getting shorter. And of course that leads us to some of the more trying energies that we have coming up in October, November, and particularly December. So it's time now for all of us to do our work, the stuff that we have to personally deal with right now. Now is the time to do that. So let's take a look at what is happening, because I've been so out of it. Oh, by the way, did you all notice the beauty of the moon and the planet Jupiter on, let's see, not last night, it was Saturday, Friday night, the clouds parted for a while. It had been a pretty cloudy day Friday, actually. And so it was even more beautiful because the moon had this tremendous ring around it, just this bright illumination right around the edges of it. And right next to it was the planet Venus. And that's because Jupiter, the moon and Jupiter were coming into a conjunction. Lord, it was gorgeous. And it's stunning to me to be able to see, to visualize, connect with my eyes, my real eyes, my body eyes, to what is going on in the stars and in terms of the astrology of everything. Because so many things that we deal with are planets that are far out there, right? We deal with, Pluto and Saturn, and we can see those planets, Saturn and Jupiter at least, but we don't see Uranus, we don't see Neptune, and we don't see Pluto. And sometimes we don't even see the other planets. If you're living in a city, it's hard sometimes in the light at night to be able to even see or connect with the planets and what they're doing in terms of moving into one another. So it was really pretty awesome to see that. And then I went out Saturday night purposefully looking for it, but the clouds were rolling in and I couldn't see it, but I knew it was still there. Periodically, the moon would peep out, but then there wouldn't be Jupiter. And then Jupiter would pop out and I'm like, oh yeah, you're still together. So it was fantastic. So take time to look at the night sky. And if you can't see the night sky, use an app. Like I tell people, I have StarMap 3D, I think is what it's called. Hold on, I'm going to check real quick. StarMap 3D Plus as an app on my phone. And when you open that app, it shows you the sky. All you do is point your phone at what you want to know. And there it is, right? You can see it all. Let's see who else is checking in with us this morning. Good morning, Michelle. Thank you so much. Michelle stayed the weekend at my house for my kitty. And Ashley, good morning to you. And Elisa, good morning to you. Great to see everybody out there this morning. So let's talk about what is going on this week, because we're looking a little bit ahead. It's Monday. And what we're looking at this week is really not too bad, although there are some distinct undercurrents going on where I think some crap could come up from the surface to the surface from deep within the heart of humanity or deep within the soul of humanity. And that's because here we are today with the moon in Capricorn. And that means that anytime the moon is moving through Capricorn, it is at some point going to conjunct Saturn, the South Node, and Pluto. And of course, today is that day. So if you're feeling sort of, I'm trying to think of what I'm feeling this morning. I feel like I'm sort of on a plateau. And not a bad place. I'm not uncomfortable at this plateau. I'm not in any kind of discomfort, but I feel like I'm at the precipice of a transformation. And indeed, even the numbers have been running 11:11 and 1:11 for no reason at all, that I'm looking at a clock or what was it yesterday? I noticed 1:11 popped up. And I was like, well, that's weird, because I wasn't even thinking about numbers and it just popped into my awareness, which tells me things are changing, that there's change in the air, that there's a shift moving through or rippling through humanity, rippling through our collective. So today, though, if you're feeling a little low or you're feeling tired even, or emotional, that would be because of our friend the moon is sitting in on top of literally Saturn already this morning, and right now sitting on top of the South Node. I remember the South Node and the North Node, they comprise an axis, and it's an axis that is evolving our world. And every 19 years, 18 and a half to 19 years, it makes the complete round of the zodiac. So this is energy right now that's been planted here that had its beginnings about 18 and a half to 19 years ago. I always rounded up to say 20, because sometimes you feel it coming and then, of course, the transition of it going. And it's just easier for us to pinpoint, oh, yeah, 20 years ago, I was 38. Oh, man, I don't want to think about that. Anyway, so we are in the period of time where we're experiencing something. And that just gave me a brilliant sort of aha in that. I was, of course, over in Friday Harbor, Washington, because it was my son's birthday. And I went over there thinking he was 28 or had turned 28, but he had turned 29. And I was like, oh my God, I have a 29-year-old son. And suddenly, I don't know what it was that struck me that all of my kids, see, 20 years ago, I would have been a young mother. My kids would have been, you know, all at home and all growing up, and I would have been in the full swing of motherhood. And now, 20 years later, or 18 and a half years later, he's facing his first Saturn return. I'm facing my second Saturn return, and all four of my kids have their own lives. They're settled. And I realized in that there is a change going on in terms of how I am as a mother. Like, I don't need to worry about them anymore in the same way, right? That they're okay, right? They have their lives, they're doing well, they're solid, and that subtly changes what I do or how I engage with them. And I even had an interesting aha about, you know, what does that mean for me personally? Well, what next am I going to mother? Because I took an Enneagram test. Oh my Lord, my daughter and I, we find the strangest tests to take. And I've done the Enneagram test before. If you guys haven't ever done an Enneagram, it's E-N-N-E-A-G-R-A-M. And if you go to their website, you can do these tests. And in the tests, I'm a helper, a caretaker or helper, I think it was called. And so now it's time for me to help me. So there's these subtle transformations that you may be feeling because the moon keeps hitting Capricorn once a month. And when it does, it sends off those impulses of change and transformation. And then twice a month, it squares that position and it sets off the challenge to that. And then once a month, it opposes it. So for four times a month, now we are getting this impulse of change, impulse of transformation, impulse of power. And is it empowerment or is it disempowering? So we're being pulsed at least four times a month with this energy. And now that I can sit here and look back over the course of time, I see how that has been changing the dynamic, not only in my own life, but in my kids' lives, in my husband's life, and likely in my clients' lives as well as in each one of your lives. So if you can, you know, just come to a place of equanimity where you're not in judgment of yourself or where you've been or where you're going, you can see the pulses and what it's been bringing you to. And if you sit still enough, or if you get quiet enough, you may even be able to intuit, where is it leading me, right? Where is it taking me? And there are several other major transformations that are on the brink in my life. And in terms of my career now, which seems to be what I'm mothering, go figure. And we'll see how that plays out in the bigger, wider scope of things. So it's really interesting to see for each one of you where that is. Now, also this week, we have Venus in a conjunction to the sun. We're really close today. We're really close in the Pacific Coast. It is tomorrow that they come into a conjunction. For you all on the East Coast, it'll bridge over into Wednesday morning. But they're in a bullet burn position right now. They're so close. We're in the applying phase. Remember, we have the conjunction or any aspect or configuration in its applying phase where it's coming into that aspect. And then we have the conjunction or the square and it's, you know, right on. And then it is in its separating phase after that. So it's never just striking in one day, it's sort of coming in, staying, and then moving on. And we can be affected at any point during that cycle. Well, Venus conjunct the sun is also in a quincunx to Pluto. And a quincunx, remember, is a 150 degree angle, a relationship that's pretty trying. And here, let me see if I can outline that here, because I can see the green line very clearly here. It actually is forming a yod too. I didn't even think about that. What else was it connecting to? And it's forming a yod with what looks like kind of an out-of-the-way Neptune. And here we go. Let me show you. Here's our yod, right? So right here, we have the sun at the point. So we have the sun and Venus at the point, and we have Neptune and Pluto forming the base of this yod. And I think what this really tells us is that we have a ways to go to become more spiritually focused. Venus and the sun together are beautiful relationships. It's the high side of everything that you can think of. When your identity and your ego are in check, where your soul and your ego, let's call it, are in check, they're in balance with one another. And then that moves outward from you to your relationships, to your finances, to your values. And everything seems to be in a beautiful harmony, a beautiful space. And that's kind of what the Venus-Sun brings us to. But there's a disturbance in the force, if you will, right? There's a disturbance moving through. And that is that quincunx or that in conjunct from the sun and Venus to Pluto. So we may be, some of you may be feeling like you're in sort of a mini crisis, mini, small, right? Maybe there's a pressure that's building up that you're feeling that something is going to change or something's got to give. If you find yourself saying those kind of phrases, then you're maybe into this little mini crisis as you feel the pressure building up and you're looking for the relief valve. Well, the relief valve in any in conjunct is at the point, or any yod is at the point. And the point is where the sun and Venus is. And that's where we are being creative. That's where we see the beauty in everything. This is where we find love. And we lean into that energy as a way to soothe some of the more pressure building energy. Now, just a quick reminder, and we haven't talked about this in quite the while because we've had so many other things to talk about, but the planet Pluto has been for a long time sitting at the gate 61, which in its shadow, as we look through the gene keys, is psychosis. And when we think about the mass psychosis that is enveloping this planet, where it seems to be separation and division and discord and disharmony, all of those more shadowy negative energies that are somehow magnified, and what is the magnification for but to call it to our attention and for us to work with, to move through, to evolve with, to spiral upwards with. So in a conjunction or an aspect or configuration like this, there can be this psychosis that gets triggered, right? The OCD, compulsion, obsessions, and all of that psychosis kind of energy could be triggered in each one of us, but also we may see it being played out on the mass screen. I did a quick check of the news because I did not follow the news while I was gone over the weekend and for the last several days. So I've been sort of out of touch, except if anything, I don't even remember now if anything explosive happened, except the ice things going on in Mississippi, but I don't remember if that was over the weekend or what. But when these things explode into our consciousness and we see it splayed out on the screen through the news or, you know, in your communities or in your nations, it's a call for us to bring more love to the situation. And there's something interesting we'll talk about in a few minutes in the human design aspect of this week that calls us out of apathy. And I'm wondering if that maybe isn't the worst enemy of all of this, is the apathy for what is happening, right? The fact that now so many different shootings have occurred, mass shootings have occurred, the humans in cages, the immigration issues here in this country anyway, the polarization and the division, that we've become apathetic, right? It's like daily it's happening. And so, you know, it's like, oh, there it is again. Right. And it, you know, calls us to move out of that apathy. And I'll talk a little more about what that means for us. Also, there is the possibility that with an in conjunct to Pluto, with the Venus and Sun conjunction, that we may find ourselves in power struggles with people over money. Or over values or over just the relationship issues, right? If there's any power dynamic that's been sort of under the surface, it's going to burst up to the surface. And it needs to be worked with, not to punish anybody, not to, you know, make everybody uncomfortable, but to expose the underbelly. Because only when the underbelly is exposed by the light can we do anything about it. If it stays hidden, we can't do anything. But if we can expose it to the light, and then we can take steps and we can move with it. And I was writing this morning, and I went, it's kind of like our karmic teeth are bared, or karma's teeth are bared right now. And in that, what I mean is that wherever it is that you are out of alignment in your life, wherever karma is coming to the surface, it's where you find that you're in a power struggle, or where you're not living in accordance with your values, or where you're triggered by something going on in your world or in your relationships. So what is the antidote to all of this? Well, the antidote is largely let go and let God, turning to your faith, turning to your spirituality, moving to more into your spiritual practice, whatever that might be, and letting go of the dogma in religions, and letting go of the stringent belief systems that are not in alignment with your truth or with the truth, right? Only love is real. And anything that's not of love is of fear or the dark or is false. We've got to remember that in the midst of all of the things that happen. We are at what I would call a self-improvement turning point as well. And what I mean by that is a self-improvement turning point is a space and time where you choose which direction you go, right? It's like Greg Braden, he calls these choice points. And I'm thinking this is a choice point, but the choice is in self-improvement. Do I turn and I move forward in in being all that I can be and expressing myself, letting go of all the old things that are holding me back? Or do I backslide? Do I go backwards? Right? Do I hold space do I let those old messages that come up from my inner world hold me back? The old fears, right? The false evidence appearing real, right? We're sitting here in August, which means we've got another, what is today? The 12th. We've got about another month and a half before we hit October and the sun's transit through all of the fear gates on the spleen. So we have time right now to choose the turning point, choose to turn and move full on into the light and into love and see how that really impacts your life for the good, right? Okay. Let's see. I'm going to check in with everybody. Good morning, Kathy. Starting a new week. Hopefully the oatmeal comes out of my couch. Oops. Camille, good morning to you. Why is this not going anywhere this morning? Weird. By the way, Mercury moved forward into Leo again over the weekend yesterday. So we are so close, this close to the end of the whole Mercury retrograde cycle. I think it's the 14th, so another 2 days, and Mercury will be into new territory. So we're past the retro shade and into new area. So I apologize, guys. I can't seem to see what everybody else's comments are. But good morning, Camille. Good morning, Colleen. I can see your comments. Kathy Miller, I can sort of see. I don't know why in the heck this is doing this. Usually I just scroll. Yes, my mouse is working. So I apologize. I don't know how to get down to the rest of the public chat. Well, that's all right. I'm not going to deal with that. So let's talk about the human design aspects for this week, because we also enter a new human design week today. And the sun is sitting at the gate 4, which is up here in the head, in the ajna. Let me show you here. Gate 4 is right here. Notice we are, there's this reflector energy in the energy of the day. And we have the 4 sitting right here. And then the earth is sitting at gate 49, which is all the way down here now on the emotional center. So our emotional center is triggered and our ajna is triggered this week. And the ajna is an awareness center, while the emotional center or the solar plexus is a motor. So we have the energy of doing something. And then we have to be aware, because if we take action from, this is only an awareness center. It has no energy for doing. It is only awareness, but we always seem to want to act from our thoughts. And instead, this is a time to be acting more from the emotions. But let's take a look a little deeper at what that might mean. Because the sun at gate 4s, there's the, you know, the ego energy, the brightness, the identity of that we're working with this week. And the sun at gate 4, this is the gate of mental solutions. This is the gate of answers. It wants to answer questions. It feels the pressure often to answer questions that are given to it. So if some, and I watch this when I'm doing readings with people, because I carry this gate by birth, and it pressures me to want to answer their questions like, what is my life purpose? Right. And I'll feel that intense inside pressure to try to tell them what it is that they need to know about what their life purpose is. Well, a part of their life purpose is to discover their life purpose, right? I can't just go around telling everybody your life purpose is that, because who knows if I'm right, right? I don't know that I'm right. I can give you an idea of what your life purpose gates are sitting at and what they might, you know, lead you to, but ultimately that is up to you. So the gate 4 pressures us to take and make a mental solution, to give a solution to a problem, but it may not be the right solution. So that is the issue, right? That, you know, you don't have anything real coming from here. It is mostly an awareness center. So we need to move down to where the earth is located. And then the earth is located at gate 49 on a motor, which is an emotional center. So we have emotional energy. And what do we know about emotional energy? It flows, and it flows with highs, and it flows into lows and all points in between. So it's constantly an up and down, and it has the peak, and then it has the valley. So the earth for this week is sitting at the emotional center, and it's the emotional center of reaction in the shadow. So by the way, the sun's shadow is intolerance this week. So we're dealing with intolerance and reaction to that in our outer world. And because what we see most clearly right now, sadly enough, is the dark or the shadow, right? That's what we see out there in the world. You know, take about the, to look at the evening news, right? If you just take that one little piece of our world, and what is it that is mostly splashed on the screen? It is the tragedies. It is the murders. It is the anger, the upset, and all of that. And I'm not saying that they're wrong in bringing that to our attention, but I'm saying that it seems to be the focus of all of us folks living on this planet to be in the shadow or the dark. And we need to be able to elevate ourselves out of that. So when we get to a week like this, the potential is for us to move from intolerance into understanding, and to move out of reactionary energy into revolution, creating a love revolution on the planet. Wouldn't that be nice? And, you know, it reminds me of, you know, what we, when we were in the 60s, now I was just a baby for most of the 60s. I really had no clue what was going on in terms of the revolution. But some of you who are older listeners may remember this. And some of you who are younger, maybe you've studied that time period where, you know, the songs that were coming out, the music that was coming out spoke to a revolution. It was a civil rights revolution that was mainly heading through owing to a Uranus-Pluto conjunction. But there were, you know, there was more going on. And it set the stage then for the next series of events to happen. And here we are in a small revolution, right? We have the revolutions aren't made by necessarily just the big things, but the accumulation of all the small decisions that we make, that creates the revolution. So when each one of you choose to move from intolerance to understanding, or move from reactionary energy to revolutionary energy, you prime the pump for us all to move to that energy. And in the highest expression is in the sun is and forgiveness, letting go of all of our judgments, suspension of judgment. That's what forgiveness, true forgiveness is really just that. It's not saying you or the other person did anything wrong, because in God's eyes, everybody's fine. But forgiveness says we will suspend our judgment of ourselves or of others or of a situation, and in favor of being at peace. And the earth's highest expression in the gate 49 is rebirth, right? So we have some pretty interesting energies going on through the human design energy of the week. In the sun at gate 4, it's mental solutions. We can express the shadow in two ways. So the shadow of intolerance in the more repressed way, or the more hidden way of expressing it, is apathy. So we go back to what I was talking about with Pluto and Venus and Sun in conjunction, is that there's this apathy that we're getting as when we become dulled to the effect of these issues that are going on in our wider world, how man is treating man, how woman is treating woman, how children treat children, and what are they reflecting to us, right? The repressed energy in that shadow is apathy. And the more rebellious, the more outward expression of that shadow is intolerance, right? Where we are outwardly saying, we don't want you illegal aliens here. We don't give a crap if we're going to separate you from your children. You're going out. That's pretty intolerant, if you ask me. It's pretty unloving, if you ask me. I'm not saying that something doesn't need to be done, but there have to be better solutions that don't include involving the uglier side of humanity in it. Now, the earth at gate 49 is in the gate of wisdom. It's called the gate of wisdom or revolution. And there's also a more passive expression of that, or a repressed expression, and it's inert. It's just stasis. Right? It's not moving one direction or another. It's more of the same old, same old. Right? And in its more negative or rejecting or reactive energy, it is literally, or in its more rebellious energy, it's rejecting and it's reactive. So reaction, remember, we talk about this quite frequently, where reaction is our gut check, right? The reaction that we have in the moment when we are experiencing something in our outer world or experiencing something even in our inner world, and we gut check and we do something without stopping and thinking and breathing about just taking a breath and pausing before we do something, right? So we want to be watchful of this week, right? That, you know, where are we being apathetic? I don't know what I was reading. I think it was an astrology column, but I'll be darned if I can remember what the subject was even, but it doesn't matter. The point was, this gentleman had a really fine point, is that he makes 7 to 10 calls or writes 7 to 10 letters a week to his congressman, to in his state or into the federal government or to the departments like the environmental department or the Centers for Disease Control or whatever it is that, you know, whatever subject is up in his face, he makes sure he lets his people, his elected officials know what he wants, right? What he wants, what he stands for. He goes to his civic meetings and things like that, town halls and what have you. I'm not suggesting that all of you need to start doing that, but we all can do things in our own way to support the causes that we love, right? Or that benefit the planet. And most of those, you know, you can do with your dollars, right? Either outright buying products that are in align, that are from companies that you align with, or by donating your money or your time to corporate, to community groups or clubs or just, you know, any kind of civic organization. Do your part, right? That's the whole thing here, is avoid being in reaction and avoid being rebellious in the negative way, but creating a revolution comes by the little steps that we each take every day. Right? So we can create that revolution. It's in our faces this week. And like I said, not in a necessarily bad way. Some of you may be feeling the emotional part, a component of all of that. So take the emotion and turn it into something useful. Turn it into something that is of benefit. And you can do that each in your own individual ways. All right, let's look at the Pleiadian Earth energy. And as I said earlier in the broadcast this morning, before most of you popped in, the 2020 Pleiadian Earth energy calendar is coming out. And so we have access to that here very shortly. And I will send you out an email or a blast on the Living Astrology page with the instructions on where to get it. Because I think for Pia and Colin, it works best for them to get it from them personally. And because then they get the, you know, remuneration for the work they've put into it instead of going through a third party like Amazon or something where, yeah, you get a better price, but that comes because they're cutting them out of their hard-earned money. So we'll try to figure out a way to do that for everybody. Okay, let's look at the Pleiadian Earth energy. Today is an 11 moving, 11 being the universal energy of the day, that all life forms on all planets or all life systems in our solar system are activating, and that is the illuminating, right? This is illuminating energy. The 11 is light and shining a light, not being afraid to look into the dark places like a giant flashlight. Let your love be your light and be not afraid to allow it to shine even into the darkest, deepest corners that you've been afraid to look at, right? Shine it everywhere. Moving energy is the Earth's energy for today. And that is Chichon in Mayan. And Chichon is the serpent. And Chichon energy is, it has a lot of facets to it. When you think of the serpent, when I think of the serpent energy, I automatically think of healing energy. The shedding of the skin energy brings me to transformation and growth, right? Because a snake sheds its skin in order to grow. And in the Pleiadian Earth energy, this is also about exploring and educating yourself, moving out of the dark places. You know, if there's one thing that we can do to elevate this entire planet, it is education for all, right? Making sure everybody in this country, in other countries, women, men, girls, and boys all have access to education and the ability to discover and explore the world, explore different cultures, explore different races, and learn about one another. It would help us go a long way to avoiding the negative end of this spectrum, which is confrontation, blame, and competition, right? Education, always one of those really good opportunities to move beyond where we are, to let go of being stuck, to elevate, to spiral our consciousness upward. So that is the day that we have today, is the 11 moving. All right, so I want to know why it is I can't scroll here. Oh, I think my battery's maybe dying in my mouse. Maybe that's it. So I'm sorry, I cannot see your comments, everyone, and that really is annoying to me. I don't know what to do about that. And if I try to ask for help, they'll just keep annoying me. So let's do a card reading while we're waiting. And if anybody is asking me questions this morning that they would like answers to, I apologize. I'm not being able to see them. Send them to me in an email to livingastrology111@gmail.com and or post them. I'll have to go back to the chat this morning likely to see what's going on. I do have some time this morning. I can do that. So let's draw a card from the Wisdom of the Oracle deck by Colette Baron Reed. We'll do that for this morning. And also, I just saw my running commentary down there at the bottom, and I totally forgot that the moon is also in a sextile with Neptune today, which brings us that high potential to greet the world with spiritual meaning, with spirit. We get the card flexible. Oops, there we go. She is number 19. And there she is. Don't you wish? okay, let's look at what flexible means for us for the week. And then I'll draw a spirit animal card as well. Flexible card 19. Let's go back a little bit here. And it was upright. So essential meaning is teachability, open-mindedness, being adaptable without compromising what's most important. And the oracle's message says, a tree's roots are solidly planted in the ground, yet its branches can bend in a hurricane, whereas a rigid structure like a building would come crashing down. Consider how a tree remains supple and secure when everything around it may be in shambles. This is how you need to be right now, willing to learn new things, teachable, malleable, yet firmly grounded in who you are. Common sense is important, but so is an open mind. Stay curious, stay open, stay aware. At the same time, others will be more flexible with you too. Wow, I think that's a great card. It matches everything that we were just talking about. Let's see what animal joins us this week. And here we go. So there's this one beach on San Juan Island that I really love to go to because we can see foxes on that beach. And for whatever reason, they were hiding. I didn't get to see one fox. I did see rabbits, which is why they brought foxes to the island, because the rabbit population was, they were overrunning the island. And now there's a pretty decent balance between fox and rabbit. And I just didn't get to see one. Wow, two animals fell out. One is turtle spirit. And they're side by side, so I would bet they just got stuck to one another. But they're turtle and turkey. Turkey and turtle. But they're cards 61 and 62. Interesting, because 61, the turkey, is where Pluto is sitting. And 62, the turtle, always gives me a pause when I see the number 62, because it's kind of a Virgo sort of energy, the energy of details, seeing the small things. It's the small things that count, right? But turtle came out first, so let's look at turtle first. We have two little guides, spirit guides this week. Oh, so it's going to be at the back. Okay. Turtle spirit says, slow and steady wins the race. The message is, turtle spirit arrives to remind you that when you do what you need to do, putting one foot in front of the other and trusting that you will see your intentions manifest in perfect timing, your prosperity and love will grow exponentially. Now is not the time to rush around trying to force matters. Move slowly, perhaps even so slowly that it almost feels as if you are not moving at all. This may be a time to crawl before walking, taking your time to align to Turtle Spirit's place as you contemplate this road you are on, doing what you need to do in the small moment that will soon pass. Turtle Spirit reminds you that sometimes the best action is to slow right down. So if it feels as if you are not doing enough, know that simply being aware of what is happening right now may be an important step toward determining whether you need to pivot or simply keep putting one foot in front of the other. True love and true success come with patience, says Turtle Spirit. Focus on the now, and the next step will be clear. Ah, I like that one. And then turkey. Give with gratitude and grace. So let me look, show you turkey again. Turkey looks pretty cool, right? Give with gratitude and grace. So Turkey Spirit's message for you is that you always have the potential for manifesting a rich reality. For the turkey represents generosity and a celebration of abundance through giving to others. Give freely without expectation and you shall receive, for the manifestation of abundance is happening right now. Align with it by sharing your good fortune with others, whether you give money, loving guidance, the gift of listening, or kindness in any form. Immerse yourself in the flow of generous abundance, being a channel for Turkey Spirit and the desire of Spirit to see all beings experience the blessings of plenty. Give with gratitude and grace from a wellspring of love and compassion, knowing that Spirit will respond by giving you all that you need in this moment and all moments to come. I'd say that works for the week too. So we have turtle and turkey, both lovely little cards. Okay. Well, I guess that's actually going to be it for me this morning, everyone. So, because I can't tell you, like I said, what everybody needs to hear. I just don't know. Show on stream. Oh, maybe if I do that, No. Okay. Well, anyway, I guess that is it for me all. If you all have questions and you need something, let me know. I will be back here tomorrow. And what else is there up this week? Anything? No. Nothing at the moment that I need to tell you. Next week, I'll be on air with Annette in Australia. But for this week, I should be here all week long. All right. Everybody take care. Have a wonderful day. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Bye for now.